11 o'clock hour of Worldly and Tausch begins now. Some debate on the timing and usage of the Jason McCourty audio.
Did YouTubers think it was too late?
No, I was just going on you guys chatting. I would like.
They're talking about something else over there anyway.
Michael is talking about what a useless Matt LaFleur presser it was moments ago.
Do you again, agree?
I don't know. I didn't listen because I was doing the show.
Today's presser.
Yeah, and I would really again.
Okay.
Matt gets a kick out of the fact that he does these now during our radio program. It's not expressly for that purpose, but it would be
nice. Added bonus for him.
It is a bonus for him, for sure.
Here, I got a hypothetical for you.
Okay.
How did, Jesse, before you give a hypothetical, how did YouTube handle the Trey Hendrickson, Micah Parsons deal?
I wasn't monitoring it at that time.
Oh, okay. All right.
I can scroll back if you'd like me to.
Nah, don't worry about it. Okay. The heck with it. Yeah, just do your thing.
Naughty language.
I don't have it. The hell with it.
Yeah. Whatever, right?
What happens if the Packers lose? That's what Dr. Denver Dan asks in the ESPN Madison YouTube comments.
So, if that does happen, I think then you start putting a ton of questions on why, and maybe then you look at it and say, maybe this team's not that good. This is not a game they should lose. Cleveland, they should not have lost the Cleveland game. They had that game won three times. They didn't. But at least from Cleveland's perspective, I knew that it was going to be tough sledding scoring, going to be tough to score 20-plus. But I did not think they'd sniff anything, and they didn't sniff anything till they did. And that was because we gave it to them. This game here, Dallas's defense is rubbish. It's just not good.
Rubbish!
And Russ Wilson put 450 on him. And Russ Wilson just got benched probably for his career because it's just not where they're at. So if they lose this game, Jesse and Dr. Dan, I think you then open the criticism doors will be flooded. And I think deservedly so. But I don't envision that being the case.
I didn't see this yesterday. RIP to Bill Ferrario passed away yesterday?
Yeah, unfortunately, I had heard that a day or two ago, and I was not going to be the person to break that news. So, yeah, unfortunately, Billy passed away. I think a couple of days ago I got some calls and texts on it. It's just really sad.
It
really
is incredible.
Billy was obviously a great, great player for us at Wisconsin. Was drafted by the Green Bay Packers and had a wonderful NFL career. And, Billy was somebody, just a great dude, great teammate, and it just makes you sick. Makes you sick when I heard that news. It was rough.
Yeah, I didn't mean to do that way, but somebody mentioned it in the YouTube chat, and I had no idea, so I went and looked it up, and so I covered him obviously during his Packers career. I know he had had some hard times in recent years, but he really was an incredibly enjoyable guy to be around. And he kind of followed in your footsteps as, a Wisconsin player who goes to the Packers and finds success. And so to his family and friends, I'm really sad to see that. And so I didn't mean to turn the conversation the way I did. I apologize for that. We will shift gears back in a different direction, but I have to admit that blindsided me. I was busy yesterday. I never saw that news, and that hit me harder than I was expecting, so I apologize for derailing the show. I do want to play something that Elton Jenkins said to me yesterday that I was I love guys that take ownership. You know, I respect the heck out of guys that if they're not playing well, instead of me criticizing them, they do it themselves. It's one of the reasons why I respect Jordan Love as much as I do, because there were plenty of times with his predecessors who probably could have taken a little more responsibility when things didn't go well, and they didn't do so. Elgton Jenkins and what he said yesterday, hopefully we can have the audio more expeditiously than we had Jason McCourty.
Ready to go, Jason.
Thank you, Jesse. I appreciate you making sure that that happened. We will hear from him next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Just got a note from Sarah Quick in the Packers PR department that we're going to have an opportunity to talk to Kenny Clark today via Zoom. That'll be fun. Be good to talk to Kenny. I mean, nothing that I haven't already texted him with about.
Have you talked to him since the trade?
I did. I texted with him a couple days, the day after the trade, because I had talked to all those defensive linemen who said that they all want to swap jerseys with him. And I believe Kenny was intending on... he won't take Micah Parsons' suite off his hands, but I think he was willing to invest in a few extra jerseys so everyone can get one, because Carl Brooks and Colby Wooden and J.J. Anagbar, they all want their Kenny Clark 95 Cowboys jersey in a swap. So... well, that'll be a good question to ask him. What's his jersey game plan when we talk to him later today? I talked yesterday with Elgton Jenkins, who, by the way, said that he doesn't want a Kenny Clark Cowboys jersey. He wants a 97 Packers jersey from Kenny Clark because they did so much battling in practice together. And that's going to be an interesting matchup. That'll be very interesting, because they both know each other so well. And with him moving positions this year officially to center, he said he and Kenny were talking all the time about things that he could use and that he needed to improve. And that's, as you know from having played, that's a really great back and forth that you can have with defensive
line. Yeah, Kenny's for sure playing, right?
I don't know if I can say for sure anything. He's got an ankle injury. We'll see how much he practices today, but I have a hard time thinking Kenny Clark, who played through what should have been a debilitating foot injury that required surgery after the season. It's kind of a turf toe thing, but us tough guys play through that.
That's what I heard.
I would be very surprised if he didn't play against his former team. But I want to play this. You've got the beep and everything edited in here.
Oh yeah, no one's swearing on these airwaves.
I don't want to get in any trouble here. Okay, so
we're not on Spotify, anyways.
Spotify's where you could swear if you want to.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Well, how the heck are we banned on Spotify if we can swear? Right?
Have you not been part of any of these conversations?
I want to start swearing more.
Sounds like a great idea. In the meantime, here's someone swearing. This is Elgton Jenkins when Tom Silverstein and I were talking to him, and I asked him for his assessment on the first three games at center.
When you look at the first three games from your perspective, we all know you're capable of playing center. How do you feel about how you've played?
I feel like I play like honestly. I feel like I can play way better. A lot of things. It's just little small detail, little things that I can fix overall. But you know, honestly, I feel like I play like I definitely got to play better moving forward.
Tausch, your thoughts?
I love it when players are you know, assessing themselves and they're being honest. I thought that was one of the poorest games from a pass protection standpoint that we've seen in the Matt LaFleur era at offensive line. And, again, a lot of that has to do, Cleveland's good. Cleveland's front's really good. And that typically, you know, great defensive linemen will make offensive linemen look silly. And they will beat you sometimes. But it was too consistent. And I think for Elton, you know, everything's just been a little off. I think Blaga brought up a couple of really good points about the run game. And the fact that it just guys, for whatever reason, are not getting up on that second level. And that's not letting Josh Jacobs get moving. So that was a concern. You guys missed a lot of training camp. You know, Elton with his back and Banksy with his hip and back and everything he's got going on, groin, Zach Tom. And it's not – it's this isn't snap your fingers and up, everything's going to be fine. You got to work and you got to put the time in. And you have to get comfortable with how these guys are going to combo block and how you're going to, okay, well, we're here now. That means I get up. And, oh, well, he slants this way. That means I got to do that. There's a lot of nuance to this spot. But last week was just a whooping. You looked at how Matt LaFleur wanted to approach it, and he felt, take Myles Garrett out of the game and let these other guys handle their business. And those other guys are pretty dang good, better than what I think LaFleur anticipated. And I'm not going to say better than what Elton anticipated, but there were some plays that just were way too sloppy. And when that happens, you take your medicine, and now you try to figure out, and you're going to have a much better success rate opportunity, a Masapo, if you will, against this Dallas defense because they don't have Myles Garrett. They don't have Malik Collins. They don't have the young buck from Michigan. They got Kenny Clark, and Kenny Clark is 29, 30 years old. So the challenge will be there. Every NFL game is a challenge. But on the tierdom scale, Cleveland is up here, Dallas down here. And when you do that, that should be a let's start getting some confidence. Let's start feeling better about our group as we head into a bye. And that's what Sunday night should provide.
Matt LaFleur at the podium moments ago called that a mature response.
Mature, I've heard around these parts.
Is that how he says it?
You mean Elton's response?
Yes, Elton's response.
Yeah, I agree.
We all need to be self-critical if we want to get better. He has a high standard for himself, which is exactly what you want. He's one of our better players, so in order to win games in this league, you need your best players to play at their best. Certainly it wasn't just him. It was all of us, myself included. We've all got to be better. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like it.
Totally agree, and I think Elton agrees. He obviously said that, and I would think if you ask Banksy, he would say that, and I'm sure you ask anybody on that front. Mm-hmm. What we saw Sunday was not up to the standard of what they have put on tape in the past and what they need to be if this offense is going to get any better.
Tausch, speaking of standards, Jones Dairy Farm with the highest of standards. Eat clean, protein, and have a great time doing it.
Indeed, Jones Dairy Farm, a family-owned business and operated for seven generations in Fort Atkinson all the way back to 1889. Best known for their all-natural sausage made from the original family recipe. It's available in pork, chicken, and turkey. And as Jason just mentioned, eaten clean. No fillers, no nitrates, MSG, gluten. It's all fresh meat in their patented recipe. And also, they make great bacon. Life-changing, some would say. It's dry-aged up to 3 weeks. Intense flavor, worth the wait. Smoked with real cherry wood and hickory hardwood. Never liquid smoke. Check out JonesDairyFarm.com for all of their great products that they have available.
Jesse and Tausch are going to take you home, starting with Whoa Nelly.
Aw, you're leaving?
I am. But I'll be back again tomorrow.
At Steinhoffel's.
At Steinhoffel's in Madison. Join us on the Beltline at Steinhoffel's. Whoa Nelly is next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Give me a moment, some kind of a
Taush, Jesse and Taush for the time being. Jason has left the show for the day, but he will rejoin us tomorrow at Steinhoffel's on the west side of Madison. I know those remotes are very popular for fans to come out and see us. Steinhoffel's, anytime we're on location at our Steinhoffel's locations, either in southeast Wisconsin or in the Madison area, people come out and see us. Do want to make sure we clarify it's on the west side of Madison, not the location on the east side this time around. We've been at the east side one before. We've been at both, but been a few years since we've been out at the west side location. So just want to make sure everybody knows that if you're coming out to see us, that you don't end up at the wrong place. Steinhoffel's tomorrow. Taush, before I get into Woe Nelly here, a lot of the topics I had planned to talk about were baseball related because I was excited that you were lifting your self-imposed Brewers discussion, baseball discussion ban after your awful first pitch from last week. But now after the way the first segment went, I'm not sure we should
awful's
go back
little,
to that.
I think awful's a little strong. I think it was bad. Awful's pretty strong.
Yeah, sure.
Awful was 50 cent. My ball got to home plate. So you could say it was bad. Awful's probably stronger than I'd like.
Despicable?
Despicable.
Yeah. That's what Barry said, describing the student section chanting the other day.
Bad.
Do you want to talk baseball, or should I talk about other things with you?
Jesse,
I got
you know what,
things.
Man? You do what you want to do.
All right. We'll play it as we go. Here's Woe Nelly.
If the topic is good, the guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Rocker's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, mama, take back 5 of them flapjacks. I got to stay hungry for the Crimson Tide.
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for
Woe Nelly
on Wildy and Taush.
All right, I'm going to start not with baseball. We'll see where we go from there. So the college commissioners, the college football playoff committee, all met yesterday at Big Ten headquarters in Rosemont, Illinois, outside of Chicago. And they talked about potentially expanding the college football playoff again as early as next year. The determination was they did not come to any agreement on what they want to do. Of course, the Big Ten and SEC have been debating about this for a while, about if they want to expand and how they want to expand and what the rules would be. So it looks like they're going to be at a 12-team playoff again for next year, 2026. Taush, when, if at all, do you think they should or will expand the college football playoff again?
I think they'll expand it sooner than later, and I wouldn't rule out 2027, I guess it would be, because 2026 is this. I wouldn't rule that out because everything is in such flux, and the money to be made is pretty despicable or obscene,
nice.
Or however phraseology you want to use. And they're not going to pass that up. So they have to come to terms and figure out how to get there and if they're going to get rid of conference championship games or if they're going to, you know, the idea of getting more on-campus games and less neutral site I think needs to be a big part of any of those discussions. But for as much as I don't think it's a great idea, I think you're going to see it happen because there's just too much money involved for it to not. So I would say at the latest 28, but I would not rule out 27. They can get that stuff figured out probably even as late as March of this year to figure it out and move it forward for next year.
Why do you think it's so important to have the games on campus?
Because I think you want to reward the teams that have good regular seasons and have those home games, but for as much as fans are probably third or fourth or fifth on the list of things that the college football playoff is looking at, you want to have full, vibrant stadiums. And the teams deserve it. The fan bases deserve it. I mean, Camp Randall put coils in under the turf to be able to host games. I'm sure other teams are doing that too. I legit think you shouldn't do a true neutral site game. I'd like to do it just in the national championship.
Oh, wow.
That's what I'd like. I don't think that's what's going to happen. So I think it should be all the way. The Final Four, that gives you three games to pick. The Rose Bowl always hosts one. and then the let everybody else scrap to find games at their places. So, Final Four, boom, and then the national championship. But everything else needs to be in home stadiums of the team with the higher seed.
Whoa, Nelly!
I think just for the amount of cost for fan travel, like you said, like if you're expecting Oregon fans last year to fly to Indianapolis for the Big Ten championship game and then drive or fly down to Pasadena for the Rose Bowl and then theoretically fly to Miami or Texas for a semifinal and then to, I think Atlanta had the championship last year, wherever it was. Like, you're expecting multiple cross-country trips in the span of a month and a half for the most avid fans of those teams. Like, you're going to hold out and then not go to the Big Ten championship. You're going to not go to the Rose Bowl. And then if you don't have the fan support and your team loses, like, then you just feel like you missed out on the entire thing. So, yeah, I think that is important as opposed to just one bowl game trip. And then you're like, all right, we're going to Pasadena this year. We're going to Texas this year.
Well, you're still going to, for the team that goes to the national championship and wins it, you're going to have two.
Yeah.
But
it's better than home. Four or five.
And I love the fact that the regular season will matter more. Because playing at home is a huge advantage, especially for, you know, teams up north that can get some of these southern and west coast teams to have to come into our environment, I think is a beautiful thing. And I hope that that is what's going to happen.
Whoa, Nelly!
Week 4 of the NFL season kicks off tonight. Tausch, Thursday Night Football, do you know who's playing?
I do.
I didn't until I heard it at the end of Unsportsmanlike today. I had just totally tuned out of what the Thursday night game is. Seahawks at Cardinals, tonight's Thursday night football game.
Evan, I think both teams are probably better than what we anticipated. I don't believe in Kyler Murray. I just don't. And I don't think Arizona's going to win anything with him. Sam Darnold, I give a lot of credit to. He played really well last year, and I think he's playing pretty well for Seattle. In these first 3 weeks, I think Seattle is a team that's going to make the playoffs. I think Seattle will make the playoffs as one of the six or seven seeds, and I think the Rams will win the division. I think San Francisco is going to kind of fuddle-duddle out and not make it. That's where I have it. So I think Seattle, it's a road game tonight. It's a short week, and you have all of those things, but I think Seattle will find a way to get it done tonight.
I'm glad you brought that up. So Evan Cohen on Unsportsmanlike asked this morning, hypothetically, do you think the Cardinals and Seahawks have a better chance to finish in either order, 1-2 in the NFC West or 3-4 in the NFC West? So considering the Rams are 3-0, I believe, and the 49ers are
The Rams got beat. Rams got beat by Philadelphia.
You're right. The Rams are 2-1. Now they lost to Philadelphia. The 49ers are 3-0. So those two teams are, you know, winning record, winning teams right now. Do you think that they can sustain all season long, or do you think the Seahawks and the Cardinals, out to decent starts for their seasons, will have a better chance to actually be at the top of that division when it's all said and done? Sounds like you think they're going to be at the top.
No, they have a better chance. They have a better chance of being at the bottom. I think the Rams are head and shoulders above both of them, and the Rams will finish first, and then Seattle will finish second, and then I think San Francisco and Arizona will be dogfighting it out, and I think Arizona ends up finishing fourth in that division.
Whoa, Nelly!
All right, I'm going to risk it. I'm going to ask you a baseball question. But it's really it's really a big picture question, so you don't have
to
look
man,
at
I'm
it.
Listen, man, I'm all back in. I'm all back in. I'd serve my punishment. I am all back in. I still have Brewers fever. I'm still excited. I can't wait for next Saturday. It's just crazy that it's a full blank, and that's a long time, man. Yep. I don't love that. Don't love it, but
good chance to get healthy, rest up, be good for a playoff run. The Cleveland Guardians were 15.5 games back of the Detroit Tigers for the top spot in the AL Central Division on July 8th. Last night, the Guardians beat the Tigers for the second night in a row. And the Guardians are now in first place over Detroit with 4 games left in the season. The Guardians were kind of sellers at the trade deadline, but ultimately did nothing, and fans were pretty upset that they didn't get anything for some of their players. Do you think that what the Guardians have done this season is going to change how fans, and even in many cases teams, view how they approach the trade deadline in their respective sports?
No. No, I think teams have a good understanding of where they're at. And if you feel like your roster needs a jolt and someone offers you what you think is fair for someone, the Twins are really going through it. I just saw something with their attendance has dipped. Because they kind of threw in the towel. Obviously, Cleveland did not throw in the towel. They figured it out, and Detroit has completely faded. And that's the beauty of baseball, is these hot streaks that you go on, they can easily turn the other way. And that's why you need to have multiple ways to win games. That's why I love what the Brewers have. The Brewers have multiple ways to win games. Detroit obviously just fell into it and couldn't pull themselves out. Now it might be too late. I think they still have an opportunity to figure it out. But, no, I don't think this is going to change anything about trade deadlines. I think organizations will always do what's in the best interest of their team, both long-term and short-term. And the Guardians probably believe that they were looking long-term. But in the meantime, that long-term became short-term. And that's a sweet, sweet pastry when you get the long-term that becomes short-term.
That's it for Whoa, Nelly. We started the show asking about whether fans are nervous or excited about the Brewers' playoff run, and there were a number of texts that we got in response to that question. I want to share a few more of those that we didn't get to coming up. Plus, we'll see the latest from Green Bay. All straight ahead. Stick around. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
I say, hey, I'll be gone today, but I'll be back from around the way. It seems like everywhere I move, the more I see, the less I know. But I know one thing, that I love you.
William Tausch, Jesse and Tausch back with you. Jason had to depart the show a little bit early today, but he'll be back tomorrow. Steinhoffel's on the west side of Madison. That's where we're going to be. We started today's show talking about the Milwaukee Brewers. It was a great celebration that Tausch's ban on talking Brewers baseball had been lifted after a week. And then we dove into Jason's therapy session and a bunch of other things that got kind of weird, honestly, in that first segment. But there was a good question at the crux of all of it. Jason wanted to know, are Brewers fans feeling more excited or nervous about the upcoming post?
Wait a second. I said that, not Jason.
I thought Jason was the one who posed the question.
No.
It was you?
No. Yeah.
Oh.
You've been real stingy giving me credit.
I don't mean to.
Very stingy.
I really didn't mean to do that.
I think you do.
Sorry.
All right, continue.
Tausch was asking fans whether they're nervous or excited.
For someone that is constantly looking for hits and clicks and virality and you'd think you'd be... All right, continue.
Yeah, you go viral in 1 week, and you know, you just lose track of everything that's going on, seeing those Twitter notifications going up and up and up. So anyway, fans were chiming in on the Carbless ESPN Wisconsin talking text line. List is more, 844-770-3776, on how they feel about the Brewers going into the postseason. I wanted to share a couple of those that we didn't get to from earlier in the show. So starting with Aaron in Big Bend, second day in a row, we have a Big Bend reference on the show. I am nervous, but also believe the Brewers are built differently this year as they can score runs by applying pressure to the opposing defense with their spread. They don't have to rely on, or I wonder if spread is supposed to mean speed there. I'm going to guess speed. They don't have to rely on the home run ball. Injuries to starting pitchers are what make me nervous. It's from Aaron in Big Bend.
Oh, mate. Maybe Aaron was talking about the spread in the dugout.
Like maybe they have a delicious, pregame meal.
They got sandwiches and soups and things of that nature. Yeah, this team is built differently. That, you know, I think old boy and Big Ben there, and he's talking about the pitching. That is the concern. Your closer's, you know, been out. Woody, I don't know how he's going to be. Miz, I don't think he was going to start. Now is he going to have to? Do you go? There's outside of Freddie, and who's the other guy, Jesse? Who's the guy that's won 19 straight?
Priester. Quinn Priester.
Priester. Outside of Priester and Peralta, you start getting into what is going to be the option if Woody can't go. What's that going to look like? Because you can't just say, all right, we're not going to There's no gimmies. There's no, we're going to try and do this, and, well, let's piece together. That's not where I think this team's at, but you just feel good about the group, how they fought back, how they have went through the storm of you calling for Pat Murphy's job and for the start of the season, and then for them kind of riding this thing, being the best team in baseball for a long stretch. You just feel great about the makeup of this team. And you just hope that the pitching, there's enough healthy arms that we can get this thing done.
Dustin in Brookfield texts in, baseball is anyone's game. It's about being hot at the right time. I'm optimistic about the Brewers. You have to be, but I'd certainly feel better going into the NLDS riding a 4-game win streak.
Yeah, I get Dustin's point. And baseball is about being hot, but you're going to have a larger break. Remember they had 19 games in 18 days?
Yeah, it's terrible.
You run out of gas. Yeah, it sucked. You run out of gas. Here, I think the concern is you're so used to playing on such a regimented basis. How are you going to stay sharp for that 6 days that you're going to be off? It's going to be a question mark. And baseball has a funny way of you can either start it and get real hot, or maybe you struggle and then do you start pressing, because the postseason, the pressure ratchets up immensely. How are these guys going to handle that? Those are all the questions that none of us know, and they don't know. But we have been the best team in baseball. I think we have to act like it. I think we have to go and figure out how we can find ways to win, because you just get the sense that if we can figure out a way, whoever we play in that first 5-game set, once this team can kind of get their teeth back into a routine and back into it, they're going to be an incredible out. But the 6-day break and then all of those other things that come into play, guys that are injured that haven't played, you just hope that that doesn't catch up with you. And that's, I think, what the Brewer fans that are like Wildy probably feel.
Rex and Exonia gets the last text here. As much as I hate to say it, I'd be surprised if they make it out of the first round.
Come on, Rex.
Come on, Rex. The Brew Crew has never shown us any ability to win in the postseason. That's not true.
It's been a while.
I think this year feels
more. It's been
more,
a while.
2018, they ended up being the one seed after they won game 163 against the Cubs at Wrigley. And like that kind of gets forgotten because they got so hot at the last minute and got their way into that postseason. But this feels like 2018. Like the Dodgers came and just outplayed them in 7 in the NLCS.
Good.
That's how this feels to me. So we'll see how
all
that
right. I'm on board with that.
A lot of time next week to speculate on the Brewers as we get ready for the postseason. A lot of time tomorrow will be dedicated to the Green Bay Packers and the Dallas Cowboys. Join us out at Steinhoffel's on the west side of Madison if you have the opportunity to stop by. And we will see you tomorrow. Jason will be back for it as well. Packers-Cowboys previews. Thanks for coming along today. As Jason always says, have a great day. Take care. Be good.
Miss any of today's episode of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin? Commercial-free full show podcasts are available free on the ESPN Wisconsin app.